Welcome, everybody, to the Hammer and Rails podcast, Minnesota Prediction Time. I am your host, Andrew Ledman.
And I'm Casey Bartley.
And we are, as I said, going to talk about the Minnesota game and put our heads on the line and make our predictions. Just a reminder, Casey and I right now are both undefeated on the season. We have not missed a game so far, so hopefully we can keep that intact. But obviously, for both of us, we'd rather Purdue win than us be right. So if we pick against Purdue, we're always kind of rooting against ourselves. So keep that in mind and don't attack us if we pick against Purdue.
But we're also both masochists. So.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, we both sat through that entire Illinois game.
We've already covered that.
Yes. So moving on. So Purdue faces Minnesota at home in Ross-Ade Stadium. You may remember last year Purdue and Minnesota played a crazy game, which Purdue looked like they had won at the end of the game because...
You're going to bring this up, Ledman? I just told you I got kicked out of a basketball game.
We got to talk about
it. You're going to bring up officiating.
So last year, you may remember, Purdue looked like they had won the game on a Payne-Durham touchdown with about 50 or so seconds left in the game. The refs called a fairly obvious, I thought, phantom pass interference, offensive pass interference. And then Purdue threw an interception, I believe, on the next play, and Minnesota was able to hang on 34-31. And just to give you an idea, if you don't remember how bad the play was, it was one of those where the sports books were like, yeah, we're going to honor your bets and we're just going to give you your money back because y'all got screwed. And that's never a good sign.
That
for a
is insane. I get the PR aspect of it, but still at the same time, these are like money sharks in Vegas and they're like, nah, it's not even worth it to make
right.
some money.
Yeah. You gotta wonder, I mean, how much money was really on the line in a Minnesota Purdue football game, but.
People are degenerates, Ledman.
That's true.
Have you met Purdue fans?
I have.
Bless their hearts, but they're not like, they are not without.
Well, no. I mean, and plus, you know, you get that Purdue degree, you've got all that disposable income to be thrown around.
Oh, is that the secret?
Yeah, that's what it is. So this is going to be, you know, a rematch from that. You would think maybe there's a little anger in the Purdue squad coming against Minnesota. They were so close last year and kind of had that game taken away from them. Jeff Brohm and PJ Fleck do have kind of an interesting connection because they did both come into the Big Ten at the same time.
Oh, I thought it was.
No. Although PJ Fleck is very obnoxious.
Yeah, he makes me thankful.
Yeah. PJ Fleck reminds me a lot of like a motivational speaker. And you're just like, this ain't it, man. You got to stop.
Anytime you act like a windbreaker, it's a leather jacket from Greece. You're probably right.
Yeah. I think he is one of the guys in the conference that annoys me the most. I mean, I know I ragged on Nebraska fans a couple weeks back.
Is Frost still a thing?
I mean, he's still there, yes. I don't know how much longer, but he is there.
That baby is thawing out, you could say.
Yeah. So
quick
Fleck
question.
Is definitely, yeah.
What's your favorite candy?
Starburst, probably.
Ooh, out there. I've been eating a lot of Starburst. The all pink packs.
Those are delicious. Are you eating candy right now?
I have some Skittles. I was contemplating.
Skittles are also probably top two, top three.
Heavy sugar cut.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But again, we've discussed this on air. I don't care. I will eat all the sugar. So.
You are walking down.
Yeah. You know.
Running.
Running. I did run 10 miles this morning, as we said. So.
That's absurd.
Yeah. It was great.
Do you have to time? Like, do you have to pick a point where you're 5 miles away and then make sure you can get back the same 5 miles? Or
sometimes.
You just run in a circle.
No. So on this one, I have a 6 mile route that I always run. So I
can
know
see
that.
How you got to 10 miles.
Listen. So I know the 6 mile route. So I got to about the halfway point, and rather than turning left to go in the square that I run that 6 miles, I went straight for an additional 2 miles and then came back. So then I was at 7, so then I had 3 miles left and completed the loop.
See, I'm just tired from the math you had to do.
I know. Yeah, so it really wears me out. And then I was basically done for the rest of the day. So I don't know how we got here. back to Minnesota. So you asked me a question. I've got a question for you.
Perfect.
Okay, so Minnesota, their strength is the run game. They had an unfortunate injury at the beginning of the season, the first game. Muhammad Ibrahim tore his, I believe it was Achilles, so he's out for the season. He was going to be the star. Obviously was going to be probably one of the top running backs in the nation and the Big Ten as well. But they have still soldiered on. They've got a guy, Treyson Potts, who's got 97 rushes for 474 yards. just under five a carry. That is pretty good. So you would think they would have a pretty good offensive line with those numbers. I want to ask you about their right tackle. His name is Daniel Falela.
I think I ordered that at a Greek restaurant.
Yes, it is delicious. Make sure you get the dip with it. And yeah, so he is one of the biggest offensive linemen I think I remember seeing in college.
Okay.
Give me a guess on his height and his weight.
6'8", 406 pounds.
I don't know how you keep getting these so close. He's 6'9", 380 pounds.
That's a big...
Yeah, he's from Melbourne, Australia. So he's probably a very likable, jovial guy. But he's their right tackle, and he is just a machine out there. So Minnesota has one of the better offensive lines in the Big Ten. So they're going to be a run-first team. And when you add to the fact that, as you discussed earlier in the week, Tanner Morgan, on the year, 38 of 72, throwing the ball, only 540 yards, three touchdowns, two interceptions, been sacked eight times. So I don't know how Purdue keeps running into these teams who cannot throw the ball, but it seems like Minnesota is yet another in a long line.
Yeah, we've got to be getting close to some kind of record of lowest pass percentage coming. Cause...
Yeah, it's got to be. I mean, Purdue really hasn't played a quarterback
in the 60s.
Scares you. Yeah.
None of them have even come really close. Tanner Morgan is weird. Because if you hark back to the 2019 year...
Yeah, he was a beast.
He was really good. He threw 30 TDs. 66% completion, over 3,000 yards. That's 10 yards, you know, a completion or an attempt. And that's really good. Last year, not as good. I don't know. I would be hesitant to blame it all on last year. You could say it was a COVID year and all that. But he started off the same way and he's struggling this year. Three TDs, two interceptions, haven't really had much deep down the field. Obviously not making the short routes. The running game, you know, still decent, but going to struggle without your number one guy. So you would figure they would need to lead on him more, but so far he's not really answered the bell, and their passing offense has not been nearly as dangerous as it looked like it was going to be a couple seasons.
No, and they've only got one right wide receiver with double-digit receptions. Daniel Jackson has 12 for 152 yards. He's not the leader in yardage. That's Dylan Wright with 169, but Dylan Wright only has 9 catches. So they've only got one right wide receiver with double-digit receptions after 4 games. I don't know how that is really possible.
And especially because you look at who they played, it's not, you know, Ohio State's a tough game to start the season.
Oh, absolutely.
That was one of their better performances.
Yeah,
I mean, they put up 41 on them. But then, yeah, Miami of Ohio, Colorado, and then they lost to Bowling Green last week in a game where they couldn't score more than...
Yeah.
It's not an offense that really inspires you. You know, they're averaging just under 200 yards a game passing, or only 135 yards a game.
I was going to say, that doesn't...
I was looking at their yards allowed.
There you go.
So, yeah, they've 135 yards passing, 209 yards on the ground. The problem is it's really going to test Purdue. I think we've been pleasantly surprised about our defense. I think we've also been bailed out by teams. It's been twofold. Teams are reticent to just stick with the run from start to finish.
Yeah.
They think they can get that big play, especially with the way our secondary has looked at times. You know, we give up some open looks, but we saw with McCray late against Illinois, they were having a lot of stain. To our credit, we were able to get a couple really big negative plays that kind of put them behind the sticks, forced them into passing.
So I think it really changed their game plan.
And I think we're going to have that, because I don't think we're consistently going to stop them. But
no.
If we can get just a handful of those, especially in the second half, where we can get a 2-3 yard loss on first down, that would be the key. Winning.
Yeah, and I mean, the defensive line is again going to be the key to Purdue winning this game or losing this game. They're going against a pretty good offensive line in Minnesota with a pretty good running back. Obviously not their number one, like I said, but anytime you can get a guy who's averaging almost five a carry, you know he's got some talent. Like I said, they have allowed 8 sacks, so that is a big hope for Purdue that they can disrupt Minnesota's backfield, maybe force them into, like you said, second and long, third and long situations, and then hope that Tanner Morgan doesn't suddenly find his groove from 2019. So that's kind of what we know about the Minnesota offense. But I want to talk about Purdue for a minute, because Purdue obviously has a lot of guys who are out, a lot of guys who are questionable. So Jeff Brohm gave an update about 3 hours ago about some of the players.
Let me guess, it was clear, concise.
So what he said was game time decisions were going to be David Bell, King Doru, and Branson Dean. Payne Durham is doubtful. And then there was one more. DeMarcus Mitchell is also a game time decision. So that means we've got two D linemen who are game time decisions, wide receiver, running back, and Payne Durham, our number one tight end, is going to be doubtful. So that those losses could all hurt. I don't know how many of those game time decisions are obviously going to be slotted in, but you hope at least a couple of them. I don't know how much even adding King Doru back is going to help the pre-running game. I think they're just going to have to sling the ball, like we said, 40, 50, 60 times, because they have no running game. They can't get a running game going. And there's no sense in trying to force something when you're not getting anything each and every play.
I definitely agree that we can't see what we saw last. Wasted first downs, which are the easiest downs to pass.
Yeah.
It's when you give your quarterback the best chance, get an advantageous way, not get in trouble. The defense has to run, and you have to take it. I do think we're going to miss King Doru.
I do too, but I'm just saying he's not suddenly going to make us a great running team.
No. I do think he makes a handful of plays, especially receiving out of the backfield. But I think we need David Bell.
Yeah.
I think we just have to have him if we're going to have a shot. We need those extra 10 to 20 yards he gets.
If he does play and he is 100%, or even if he's not 100%, he will likely be the best player out there on offense when he's on the field. So anytime you're still waiting on a decision on your key player on offense, you've got to question whether Purdue can win this game. So not only are we possibly missing David Bell, King Doru, we don't know who's going to be behind center. Brohm has said, a decision was made. The starting quarterback has taken snaps with the number one offense this week. A decision was made, but we, of course, do not know what it is.
There's no point to talk about the game because we don't have any idea. Because if you cover up who's quarterback, everything else is in a shroud of mystery. Ooh, it must be Halloween.
Well, it is. This should come out on October 1st, so it's officially spooky season. So he's right in line.
I just think, so honestly, I get how you watch the games and you think Plummer's not making quick. We talked about, is it play calling? Is it Brohm or is it Plummer? I don't know. I think if you're going to do this song and dance, I think you have to decide this. Okay.
Do you mean for the rest of the season you have to make a decision?
I think you give AOC, I guess, let him come in with a full game plan, see how the offense works from the first. And then we have too many tough games coming up to bounce back. You got to choose what it's one or the other.
Yeah. And I do think O'Connell will be the starter.
I
think all indications are, like I said, after the Notre Dame game, Brohm said, well, Plummer is still our starter, but I just pulled him because he'd taken some hits or whatever BS that was. And then after the Illinois game, it was, well, we'll see who our starter is. There'll be a competition. And that to me says he doesn't want to damage Plummer in the media, but he's going to make a change. So
if he goes to O'Connell and sticks out through the season, Plummer's leaving.
I mean, I would have to think so.
Why would you not? Why would you go through this?
See, the problem I have with Brohm in this quarterback situation is he is a quarterback. He played quarterback in college, played quarterback, he was on some rosters in the NFL, of course, famously played in the XFL. But he doesn't seem to be able to handle quarterbacks at all. He's constantly shuffling them. He is constantly changing his mind. He's always in an open competition, and that can be good.
And admits every week that he didn't do a good enough job.
Yeah. I mean, you can bring out the best in your quarterback or your players by saying, hey, nothing is given on this squad. You got to earn everything. But at a certain point, you have to put faith in your guys and say, look, you're the starter. Go out and play. And know that there's not somebody looking over your shoulder, because if you make one mistake, you're going to get pulled. You've got to give your quarterback flexibility to make the plays, make the tough calls. And maybe that's one reason Plummer hasn't been making the difficult throws, is because he's trying not to make mistakes, because he knows O'Connell is right there ready to get thrown in instead of him.
Here's my question. How much comes down to Brohm just shouldn't be calling? He can design an offense. He comes up with really nice trick plays. At times there are good things. How many coaches do we see, though, that are effectively coaching all aspects of the game and then still able to call the game?
Yeah, I mean, it certainly cranks up the difficulty level if you're Brohm. And I think his brother does some of the play calling as well. But I'm not sure, if Jeff Brohm has an override over Brian Brohm, or if he's like, no, I'm going to do this series, or how exactly that works. But at a certain point, Jeff Brohm has to be the head coach, and he has to be focused on the entirety of the game. And he does. I don't know if he's putting too much pressure onto himself to try to call a perfect game or what he's doing, but the play calling has not been great.
And I just think it's the weakest part of his coaching.
Yeah, I don't think you're wrong.
And if you listen to him, he thinks that too half the time.
Yeah, he constantly criticizes himself after the game.
So, like, something's got to give.
Yeah.
You're either good at it or you're not. And judging by, honestly, everything we've seen in the last two seasons, he's not.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you were to give Jeff Brohm a self-evaluation and say, how do you think you're doing from a play-calling perspective, he would probably tell you, as he does after nearly every game, you know, I didn't call the best game. I'm not putting my players in a position to succeed. Well, you're the head coach.
Yeah. When was his last A-plus game? Ohio State?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, last year, you know, he missed the start of the season, and his brother called the plays, and Purdue started 2-0.
Yeah, and they were two of the most – the games just made sense. The play calling was good, solid. We ran the ball well. Just at some point, like, how much is it just that? And, you know, it's hard to say when you're 3-1, but we've watched every game. The offense has not been close to what it could be.
No. I mean, some of that is, I will give Brohm a little credit. Some of that is due to injuries. Some of that is due to a poor offensive line. But again, he is the head coach. He Right. recruited these players, and he's supposed to be the one developing these players. So when you're in year, you know, 5 of your contract, you should have an offensive line that you have trust in. And he does not seem to have that. So I don't know if he simply can't recruit offensive linemen, or if he simply doesn't have the folks in place to develop them. But it's probably a combination of both, but that has certainly led, I think, to a lot of the offensive struggles.
So the question becomes, is Minnesota good enough to take advantage of some of these things that we've seen Purdue struggle?
Right, and that's the question, because Minnesota has not looked good.
No.
You know, this last game against Bowling Green, they lost 14-10, was it? Yeah.
Yep, and 14-10.
This was at home, so it was at Minnesota, and they were a 30-point favorite going into that game.
Not great.
So when you lose as a 30-point favorite and can only muster 10 points against Bowling Green, there are some difficult questions you have to ask. And let's not pretend like Bowling Green is some powerhouse right now. You know, I mean, they lost earlier in the season to South Alabama, which great. I didn't even know South Alabama was a school. They're apparently the Jaguars. They got beat by Bowling Green 22-19. So it's not as if this is the Bowling Green that's gonna, you know, rocket to the top of the MAC, take out everybody, and surprise somebody in a great bowl game. We just don't know that they're that good yet. So a loss to them does not look good.
No, and we've seen a team that had – I mean, Minnesota is a team that had an identity coming into this, and it was all based around their run game, their running back, and they lost that, and they're struggling to recover, and Tanner Morgan hasn't been very good.
Yeah, I mean, he only had 59 pass yards in their game against Bowling Green.
So, honestly, I think even our offense could struggle some as long as our defense plays as well as it has. I'm a little worried that this is going to end up being a get right.
Yeah. We've been asking so much of the defense. They've had to play great game after great game to keep this offense in it. And at a certain point, you know, mistakes are going to happen on defense. Plays are going to get broken. You know, a ball is going to bounce the wrong way on Purdue. And if the Purdue offense can't keep up, one or two mess ups by the defense could be enough for Minnesota to sneak away with a win.
Yeah, and that's got to be the hope. Maybe hit a big play or two. Hope David Bell can play.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to have to get Morgan into bad situations and work against his worst. Hasn't been a very accurate passer and has been prone to making. Karloftis needs to have a big game. Our secondary continues to need to be surprisingly good at times when we're not leaving a guy wide open downfield.
Hey, but they knew they could leave that guy wide open downfield because they knew the opposing quarterback only threw 40%.
It's a dangerous game, but yeah, it's working out in our favor for the most
part. Yeah, so I think that is about all we need to discuss about Minnesota-Purdue. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, it is prediction time. Okay, and we are back. Now it's time to put our heads out there, put our necks on the line, and make our prediction about the Purdue-Minnesota game, which is going to be at noon on Big Ten Network this coming Saturday. So, Casey, I will let you go first. If you would like to discuss what we picked last week to kind of set people's minds, give it a go.
Well, we both picked the right winner.
Yeah, so we
got
did.
That. But we both thought Purdue was going to have a good offensive game. I picked them to win.
Oh, we were wrong.
I picked them to win 38-17. You had 31-17. Clearly, we were a little bit off.
Yeah, we were. We were maybe a little. Maybe a little punch drunk off the Connecticut 49 points.
Well, that Illinois is really bad.
Yeah, so. Yeah, they were allowing 30 points per game, so I don't think it was outrageous.
So yeah, it was 13-9. We got the win. This week, I don't.
You're struggling with this, aren't you?
Yeah, I don't love either offense, but I also feel like there are a few more playmakers than last week, especially if Bell can. But I do just have this nagging suspicion. This is going to be the game where Purdue kind of shows the weaknesses we've seen throughout the year, and it's going to backfire. I'm going to go.
Sounds like you're going to pick Minnesota.
Yeah, I'm going to go Minnesota 32, Purdue 20.
Oh, wow. That is going to be a high-scoring game. Not sure either team has 32 points in them at this point.
That's fair. It's fair.
But, I mean, I guess Minnesota's been right up there on three occasions. They had 31 in their loss to Ohio State, 26 when – or 31 when they beat Miami, and then 30 when they beat Colorado. So, yeah, I mean, I suppose it makes sense.
We might get a defensive TD on both.
Well, let's hope Purdue maybe has more than one because that may be the only way we get into the 20s. All right, so you have got a Minnesota victory. Now, reminder, Casey and I have picked the same winner – each and every week. So we have not differed, and that is how we are both 4-0 with our picks.
That math now, checks out.
Yeah, thank you. You know, I pride myself on my ability to do math. It's one of the things that got me to where I am today as an attorney who does no math.
I mean, you got to count the Benjamin.
Yes, that's exactly right. So I am actually, I'm going against Casey this week. I hadn't made a decision until we started recording, but the way Minnesota has been playing recently has been so bad that it's difficult for me to have any trust in them. Now, Purdue obviously is the same way, and a lot of my pick is going to be contingent on David Bell and a couple of the other guys who are game time decisions playing. I mean, I would really love Branson Dean, and I would really love DeMarcus Mitchell. I'd really love to know for sure that those three guys are going to play because I think they're going to be very important for Purdue
to win.
Yeah, well, it's a secret. So I got to think at least one of those three is going to play, maybe two, maybe hopefully all three. And if they do that, Purdue defense can make a difference against the run game of Minnesota. The Purdue defense has been the classic bend, don't break. We've given up a lot of yards on the ground against Illinois, especially in that second half, but somehow found a way to get the stops when it mattered. So my hope is that they can do that again. We'll see a similar game plan against Minnesota, even though Minnesota does have, I think, a better line and a better running back. But with 8 sacks on the season allowed, hopefully that will allow folks like Karloftis and the rest of maybe Dean, maybe maybe DeMarcus Mitchell if they play, to get into the backfield. So I'm hopeful that Purdue can squeak out a victory. I am going 21-17, and I'm going to rely on the revenge factor a little bit from last season's screw job.
All right. Well, I have a win-win. I'm either going to be wrong or Purdue wins.
Right, right.
So, or yeah, I'll either be right or Purdue.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a much better situation for you because no matter what happens, you've got a little something to hang on to.
Exactly.
Yeah, so there we go. This is the first time we've differed in our picks. So come this time next week, one of us will be 4-1 and one of us will be 5-0. So it's going to be exciting. A lot of stuff on the line. Purdue, again, you know, if they win, they can stay at the top of the Big Ten West. So that would just be crazy. Did not expect to ever utter those words this year, but we will see. So, Casey, any final thoughts before we head out?
No, I'm just going to banish myself since I didn't pick Purdue. I'm not going to be able to say boiler.
That's fair. That's fair. All right. So for Casey and myself, thank you for listening. Make sure to rate, review, subscribe, hammer that subscribe button. You know, give us some comments, tweet at us, whatever you need to do. Let us know how we're doing. Let us know what you love. Let us know what you hate. We will chat with you next week, folks. Boiler up.
Make me wrong, Brom. Make me wrong. With you.